All right. Well, in life, we find ourselves in a lot of situations that we would rather not be in. We look around, we don't like what's happening, and the thing that always frustrates me and probably frustrates you if you're being honest is that we don't have control, that we don't have the ability to stop something. And in the church, in church lingo, we often call these things storms, right? In church, everybody's always in a storm. That's okay. It's a good analogy. But we see multiple accounts through the scriptures of people on boats who end up in storms. And I thought, man, that would never happen to me, right? I just pull up my weather app right here and check it out. And yesterday, whenever we were getting in the pool, having some family time, and it said, sunny. These conditions are expected to continue. And by the time I went out there, it was cloudy. And then it said, cloudy. These conditions are expected to continue. And a few minutes later, the sun came out, right? And so, like, we can look at these people in these storms, on these boats, and think, like, well, what kind of fools go out and get in a boat whenever there's a storm coming? Listen, we think it would never happen to us. But these people might just be like me, that they're just trying to wing it, because anytime they try to plan, whatever happens is going to happen anyway, and you're probably not going to be prepared. And so you could be prepared for storms, you can not be prepared for storms. But the other thing we always forget that comes up in the mix is something that often doesn't show up on the radar until it's too late. We have these pop-up storms. It seems like they come out of nowhere. You don't get an opportunity to pray or to prepare for them. And I believe this is how most of our storms in life go. We don't get to prepare. We don't get to pray about them beforehand, because we just see them appear. They just arrive, and we're like, what am I supposed to do with this pop-up storm that just happened in my life? And what I want to tell you this morning is that oftentimes we're focused on the storm and how do I put out the storm, right? How do I make the storm stop? How do I make it go away? Because again, as people, we want that control. But you can't control the storm, but you can choose how you respond to the storm. And this morning we're going to look at this particular storm that the Apostle Paul finds himself in the middle of in Acts chapter 27. And that's where we'll be today. If you want to turn along there, it'll be up here behind me. But verse 1, it says this: when it was decided that we were to sail to Italy, they handed over Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius of the Imperial Regiment. Paul finds himself on this ship, and one of the important things to know here is that Paul is not just on a boat skiing in the Mediterranean. He's not just on a yacht living it up on the Mediterranean Sea. He was a prisoner. It says they took Paul along with other prisoners. Paul was already in a situation, what we would call a storm, in the fact that he's a prisoner. And he's been taken upon this ship to be taken to Rome. It's not a journey of his choosing. And it's like Paul had no choice but to go where he was told. And when we go forward a few verses to verse 7, it tells us that sailing slowly for many days, with difficulty, we arrived at Cnidus. Since the wind did not allow us to approach it, we sailed along the south side of Crete off of Salmone. With still more difficulty, we sailed across or along the coast and came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. This is Paul's storm. Now, right here, again, he's on his way to Rome to plead his case, to hopefully be freed to continue to preach the gospel. But instead, they're sailing, and it says they're sailing slowly for many days. How many of you guys seem like every time you're in a storm that you're going slowly for many days? Slowly for many days. And it says not only was it slow, but it was difficult. And it says not only was it difficult, but the wind prevented them from going along the course that they wanted to go, and they faced still more difficulty. Anybody relate to being in a storm kind of like that in your life? It's not just slow, but it's difficult, and it's not just difficult, it's more difficult, and there's resistance. Church, this is sometimes how our storms go, and if we are trying to control it, it gets even more frustrating and more frustrating. We're not steering the ship. We can't just decide where to go. We can't just stop the wind. We can't just speed it up, but we're just along for the ride. Verse 9, it says, "By now, much time has passed, and the voyage was already dangerous. Since the Day of Atonement was already over, Paul gave his advice, and he told them, 'Men, I can see that this voyage is headed toward disaster and heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives.' But the centurion paid attention to the captain and the owner of the ship rather than to what Paul had said." It says, much time has passed. It's dangerous. And Paul tries to give some advice based on what he sees. Paul, this man of God, who God had used so greatly, he sees something that the captain doesn't see. Imagine being the captain of this boat, and you got this prisoner in the back, and he's like, "Hey, captain, I see something that you don't see. I want to give you some advice." See, Paul wasn't a captain. He wasn't a deckhand. He wasn't a skilled fisherman. He wasn't any kind of person that should know anything special more than those who are manning the ship. But he sees something that they do not. Paul had something they didn't have. He had the discernment. He had the Spirit of God and discernment. And so he tries to encourage them to change course, but it says that they did not listen to him. Instead, they just listened to the captain and the owner of the ship. Like Paul, there's times when we're in the middle of these storms in our lives and we see something. Maybe God even shows us something. Maybe the wisdom and experience in life leads us to something, or the Holy Spirit gives us revelation, and what we find is that we try to relay that to the other people, that maybe they could do something about our storm because we can't, but they can, and our voice is not valued. Anybody ever been in that spot before where they're like, "Oh no, not you. Like, I don't want to hear from you. You're not the captain of this ship." Our voice is silenced. The people who have control in our circumstances refuse to yield to our advice. What more can we do other than just share what God has told us? This is why when I tell people, if you feel like God has given you a word to speak publicly or privately, you know what your job is? It's just to speak it. It's just to share it, not to control what the other person or people do with that word. Your job is just to share it, just to be obedient. And I believe that's what Paul did in this moment here, is he was just obedient. "I see something that you don't see. You don't want to take my advice? What can I do? I'm just a prisoner." Verse 13, it says that a gentle south wind sprang up, and they thought they had achieved their purpose. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the south shore of Crete, and before long a fierce wind called the Northeasterner rushed down from the island. This fierce wind had a name. It wasn't a one-time kind of wind. It was one that tended to visit there regularly that they gave it a name. "Oh no, the Northeasterner is here. We are in trouble." It says that it rushed down from the island. But verse 15 says, "Since the ship was caught and unable to head into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. After running under the shelter of a little island called Caudia, we were barely able to control the skiff. After hoisting it up, they used ropes and tackle and girded the ship. Fearing that it would run aground on the Syrtis, They lowered the drift anchor, and in this way they were driven along because we were being severely battered by the storm. And they began to jettison the cargo the next day. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Church, it was common in this area, in this place that they were in, with this northeasterner type of wind, it was common that they would get caught in these severe storms. They knew practically what they were supposed to do was to begin to throw things overboard. And many of you maybe are like me and like, I don't want to lose that stuff. I wouldn't want to throw my stuff over, even the tackle and the things that maybe we're providing for our own needs. But they knew the only way to have hope for survival was to begin to lighten their load. And church, I bet you've been there sometimes in a storm in your life too, where somehow, some way, this storm has been so slow and dangerous and long, and you face resistance, and somehow you just want to control the course, and you know that you can't, so eventually, because you've been battered by the storm, you've been beaten on over and over and over, that you begin to just throw things overboard. If I could just lighten my load, right? If I could just get some things off of my plate, if I could just get rid of all my responsibilities, and it just gives me a little bit of hope of survival, if I could just get some relief. I know this can be the scariest point in a storm, and I believe that it was for Paul as well. It tells in verse 20 that for many days, neither sun nor stars appeared. And the severe storm kept raging. Finally, all hope was fading that we would be saved. All hope was fading that we would be saved. I want to draw your attention to the fact that a Christian wrote this, right? Luke, he wrote, all hope was fading that we would be saved. Even he began to doubt if they were going to get through this. This spot that they were in, and that you have maybe been in a storm in your life where it seems like you're just in this place of darkness, right? There's no light at all. I'm trapped where I'm at, and the storm continues to rage. What tends to happen if we're not in the right spot spiritually is that our hope begins to fade. But I want to tell you this morning that there is a way through. Amen? There is a way through, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, no matter how long, no matter how hopeless we may be, there is a way through this storm. And the way through is to drop some anchors. And we're going to see what they did going forward here and how this applies to our lives. But in verse 27, it says, when the 14th night came, we were drifting in the Adriatic Sea. And about midnight, the sailors thought they were approaching land. They took soundings, and they found it to be 120 feet deep. And when they sailed a little further and sounded again, they found it to be 90 feet deep. Then, fearing we might run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight to come. Have you ever been in a boat before where you wanted it to be still and dropped an anchor? I've done this where I've been with somebody fishing before. This is what happened. I'm fishing on this side of the boat, and it's real nice. This is what happens. All the fish are over there where I was at. Until we drop the anchor. Next thing I know, I'm over here fishing, and the other person's fishing over there where all the good fish are at. That anchor would drop, and maybe that boat won't move, as in leave. It won't go somewhere else. It may not go to the other side of the lake, but it still could sit there and turn and turn and turn. I've also done that where you go out on some kind of boat and you jump out of it to get in the water and swim around while the boat is anchored. And the, again, that boat will turn and turn and turn, but it's not going to go anywhere necessarily, but it also may not be pointed in the right place where it needs to be pointed the entire time. Why? Because it will begin to be pushed left or pushed right by the movement of the waves and by the wind. So it says here that they dropped four anchors. Somebody say four anchors. That was really weak. Come on now. Somebody say four anchors. That was good. All right. This was to hold the ship in place, not just so that it would not move about, but also to keep it pointed toward the shore. So you need more than one anchor if you want to stay pointed in the right direction. And so they dropped four anchors because it says they feared that they might run aground on the rocks. They feared that maybe the storm would get enough, that one anchor may hold them from moving, but it might redirect them and it could break loose, and who knows what could happen. We could end up in the rocks, because if we end up in the rocks, that's where we get damage and destruction. That's the place where we get hurt real bad, is if we end up in the rocks. And they knew that if we're going to get through this, we need these anchors to keep us pointed toward the sandy shore. Now, for you and for me, when we find ourselves in these storms of life, if we don't drop anchors, we'll get twisted and turned by these waves, right? James says it will be tossed to and fro, right? By every different kind of teaching or saying or sound doctrine or unsound doctrine, whatever it is, we'll get tossed around if we're not anchored. But here what happens is that what he's really trying to get through to us through this story, I believe, is that we could still get through eventually, but it's not just getting through, it's also where are we going to land? What is it going to look like when we get there? Because if we crash into the rocks when we're in this storm, maybe we get through it, but we're more hurt and more damaged on the other side when we could have stayed pointed toward the shore. So Paul drops these four anchors, his ship does, these four anchors for you and me that I saw in the Word. First of all, is going to be the anchor of prayer. Verse 29 said that fearing we might run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, and then they did something else. It says they prayed for daylight to come. They prayed for daylight to come. Church, you need an anchor of prayer in your life to stay pointed in the right direction. I'm not just talking about saying a little prayer. First of all, throw that out of your vocabulary. What in the world does that even mean? Saying a little prayer. I don't say little prayers. And I'm not saying it has to be loud and long-winded. I'm saying that I don't say little prayers because prayer is an anchor. It's something I rely on. It's something that is critical in my life to keep me pointed toward the shore. If you're not praying, you're straying, right? You got to pray to keep pointed toward that shore. And anytime you're talking to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm going to tell you, it ain't a little prayer. It's a big prayer. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't matter what you're praying about. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It's never, ever, ever a little prayer when you're talking to the Creator of the universe. It's a big prayer. Don't say little prayers anymore. Amen? We got that? Strike it. No more little prayers. Let's get down to business with our lives. The one who has overcome it all. The one who saves. Amen? The one who heals, that protects, that delivers, that provides. If that's who I'm talking to, prayer is my first anchor. And it ain't little. It's big. It's important. It means something. And these men on this ship, most of them were not believers, and it says that they prayed for daylight to come. They're like, we want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. See, prayer is kind of like the headlights of a car, right? Headlights allow you to see where you're going and also what is approaching. And when we live life without prayer, it's kind of like driving a car at night without headlights. You're an accident waiting to happen. Just an accident waiting to happen. We've got to be willing to drop that anchor of prayer down into the water. The second one we see, and I kind of skipped over these verses so I could come back to them, is the anchor of God's word. Verse 22, Paul tells these men, he says, "Now I urge you to take courage, because there will be no loss of any of your lives, but only of the ship. For last night an angel of God, the God that I belong to and serve, he stood by me and he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. It is necessary for you to appear before Caesar. And indeed, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you." See, Paul told them what God has said. And church, what God has said is true. Amen? What God has said will come to pass. It is a guarantee that you can take it to the bank. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he might lie, or a son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill? God does not lie. If he said it, it's true. If he said it, it happens. Do you know God's word? Can you make an anchor of God's word in your life, and that it's so important that you rely on it, that his promises keep you pointed toward the shore? Do you remember earlier in the story it said that Paul could see, right? He could see that they were actually headed toward disaster, and he tried to get them to go a different path. And he said in that moment, "We're going to lose it all, guys. We're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the cargo. We're even going to lose our lives." That's what he discerned. That's what he perceived in that moment, in that time. But now, farther along in the storm, which you would think things would be getting worse. It sure sounds like it got worse physically. It got dangerous. It's been a long time. But now God has spoken, and God has revealed to him that it may look like you're going to lose everything, but in fact, you won't. You'll lose the ship, but you won't lose your lives. Church, we need the anchor of God's word to keep us pointed toward the shore. He is for you and not against you, right? He who is with you will always be with you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Right? He is with us and for us and desires for us to be pointed toward the shore and take what he has given us. This ship, listen, this ship, if you relate that to life, if we think about all the things that we work so hard to build up and acquire and hang on to and grasp, and that we lose all these other things because of these treasures, these earthly treasures, listen, you can take all of that. Take it all as long as I still have Jesus. Amen? As long as I still have his presence. It's what we sang about, remember? He's enough. I don't need all this other stuff. It's great. I like to have it. But if I don't, you can have the ship. Just let me keep my life. And I'm not just talking about living on earth. I'm talking about my life in Christ. Let me keep that. That's all I need. Drop the anchor of God's word. The third anchor is the anchor of fellowship. Verse 35 says, after he said these things, he had talked to them about eating, and he said, after he said these things, he had taken some bread. He gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them, and after he broke it, he began to eat. They were all encouraged and took food for themselves. In the midst of this storm, in the midst of this time, in this darkness, Paul takes some food. He gathers the people together, he takes some food, and he just simply thanks God for it. Lord, I thank you for this food. How hard is that? Right? I thank you for this food. I thank you for providing for me. And he began to eat it. And it says they too were encouraged and they ate. I mean, what did he really do for them? He thanked God. See, he showed thankfulness, gratitude in the midst of the storm to the other people. He said, come around. I'm going to show you that I still got something to be thankful for no matter what I'm facing. And he said, God, I thank you for this bread. Me and Christy went to Emo's the other day. Emo's, you either love it or hate it. Okay, so if you hate it, get out. I'm just kidding. A lot of people don't like it. But I'll tell you something that you'll love if you go there if you like bread. We got garlic cheese bread. I didn't even know that was a thing there. It was like when you look at it from the side, it was like yellow and white. You know, there was so much garlic butter in there, it was like it sank down like almost to the bottom. And I bit into that and it like, you could feel the juice squirt out. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I am so happy I discovered this cheese bread. Listen, I love pizza. I know I talked a few weeks ago about how I love cheeseburgers, okay? I'm in the process of being sanctified, just like you guys are, okay? Right now, my weaknesses are cheeseburgers and pizza. But I love pizza, and I didn't even care about that pizza. The bread was so good. I thanked the Lord for that food. I was so thankful for it. And I picture Paul in this moment that all he had was just some probably crusty, dry, or maybe it would have been wet. I don't know. It was storming pretty bad. But it was this piece of bread. No cheese, no garlic sauce, no butter, nothing like that. And he's just like, guys, come here. We got a reason to be thankful. We got a reason to be thankful. We got this little bit of bread. And he thanked God and began to eat it. And it says that they too became encouraged and they ate. When we're in the midst of a storm, church, one of the things that we tend to do, what we desire to do, what we often find ourselves doing is go and get alone. Go and stand in a corner. Go and be by ourselves away from every other person. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. It's exactly where the enemy wants us, is alone. He wants you alone with your thoughts and hearing his lies. And he doesn't want you to get around other people. But what we need is to be around other believers for encouragement. We need each other for encouragement, church. There are storms in our lives that, listen, there's probably somebody else who's in the same situation that you're in. Maybe you don't know that person. There's probably somebody else who's been in your situation and they've seen it through to the other side. We need each other for encouragement because this anchor of fellowship is important. As God has created us to be relational. I know that some of you are introverted. You're like, but I'd rather be by myself. I'm saying it's okay to be by yourself when you are well. It's not very good to be by yourself when you are not well because you need the support and the encouragement and the building up of other believers. Now listen, remember I said the anchor of fellowship. I didn't say friendship. Because there's a difference. Fellowship means God's involved. Fellowship means God is in the midst. It's another believer, somebody who's going to build you up, not just tear you down or tell you things that are not even true. You need other people, and they also need you. And so Paul told them that eating this food, in a verse previous, he said, eating this food is for your survival. And we do have to eat food for our physical survival, but there's times we need other people for our spiritual survival of our soul. We need other people to love on us and hug us and be there for us. We need that anchor of fellowship. And the last one is the anchor of trust. This part right here, verse 25, Paul said, "So take courage, men, because I believe God. I believe God that it will be just the way it was told to me, but we have to run aground on some island." I believe God, it's going to be all right, but we're going to have to run aground. We're going to have to crash the ship, church. That's ultimately what he's saying. It's going to be okay, but we're going to have to crash first. How many of you guys like when people do the good news, bad news game? I mean, a lot of people like delivering the good news, bad news, like messing with people. Most people don't like being on the other side, right? You want the good news first or the bad news first. You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody actually enjoy that? We got good news, right? Do you want the good news first or the bad news first? The bad? Okay. You want the bad news first? The bad news is that in life, you are going to lose some things along the way. And the worst news, I forgot to say there's worse news. The worst news is that you will eventually lose everything, every single material thing that you have on this earth. Every bit of it. You will lose it. All of it. At some point. The good news is that if you're in Christ, you're going to live. Hallelujah. Right? That's a good thing. That's really good news. That's great news. This good news is that you will live. This anchor of trust means that we're willing to accept God's will in the situation. Right? They had to drop this anchor of trust that we are going to be okay, we're going to live. God said we're going to live. That's great. However, we're also going to have to crash. Now, for some people, they're conflicted in that. I don't really know about this living if I'm going to have to endure some kind of crash. What is my life going to look like after the crash? How is this going to affect me when we get in this crash, when the ship gets torn apart, and who knows where I end up at? Maybe I will live, but is it really going to be that great? And listen, we go into the storms of our life with that mindset sometimes, where it's about, but how is it going to affect my life when I lose these things? Well, that's a good question to be asking ourselves. How is it going to affect our lives when we begin to lose things? Because if that's where our hope and our trust is at, then the crash is going to be devastating. If our trust is in those things, because you're going to lose them. But if our hope and our trust is in Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, who rose from the dead so we could have new life, church. If our trust is in him, you can lose all those other things. And listen, life is still going to be good. It may not be easy. It may take some adjustment. It may look a little bit different, but I'm going to tell you and I'm going to promise you that it's still going to be good because God is good. Amen? And he's more than enough. If he's all that we got, he's more than enough. He tells them, you're going to run aground on this island. We're going to have to crash. This ship will be destroyed, but listen, God will take care of you. You will live. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. Those who know your name trust in you because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. That's the question today, the greatest question of all the questions is, do you know Jesus? Not just know about him, but do you know him? Have you called upon his name? Have you been born again? Listen, if not, then today is the day of salvation. This is the day, right here, right now, to be assured of your salvation in Christ Jesus. If you've made that decision today, the next question is, do you trust him? When I say, do you trust him? I mean, do you trust him? Are you willing to accept his plan for your life? Because this is where we start to lose people. I trust him as long as. I trust him conditionally, but if you trust him, you trust him, right? Do you trust him and his plan for your life? That's what it takes to drop that anchor of trust down into the water. Listen, you really need all four anchors if you're going to stay pointed toward the shore. You've got to pray, right? It's got to be something that's important in your life, that's critical in your life. You've got to know and rely on the Word of God. You don't have to have it all memorized, but church, you need to know the promises of God. You need to know what his word says. You need to know that it expresses to us how much he loves us and how much he is for us. You need that anchor of fellowship. Listen, get around other believers. Get around people. Invite them to lunch. Do something to get encouragement. or to encourage others. Maybe you don't need anything, but encourage somebody else today. And then we've got to get to that anchor of trust, that, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Right? It may look like we're going to die, but if we're in Christ, the Word of God tells us that even if we die, we live. Amen? Even if we die, we live. The enemy wants nothing more than to destroy us. He wants to see us crash, to sink, to drown in the storm, and he'll tell you any lie that he can to keep you from dropping those anchors into the water. Well, God doesn't hear my prayer. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you're a child of God, God always hears your prayer. If you cry out for help, God always hears your prayer. Well, I don't know the word. I don't know the verses to say. Doesn't matter. Look it up. Crack it open. Find something. It's there for you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that you don't know it good enough. What do you know? I always say that. Rely on what you do know of God. Don't rely on something that you don't know. When it gets hard, when it gets tough, if all you know is John 3:16, hallelujah, it says that God loves you. It says that he loves you and gave his life for you. And that's all, if that's all you got, then that's all you need. You need to believe that other people do want to be around you. They do want to fellowship with you. They do want to spend time with you. Don't believe those lies of the enemy where he tries to isolate you and tell you that nobody likes you or cares about you. That's not true. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus is trustworthy? That not only is he trustworthy, but I'm going to tell you there's nothing in our lives that is more trustworthy than Jesus. He's the only one who will never let you down. Never. He will never let you down. Listen, he may let down your expectation of him if you're expecting him to do something that is not his will. I'm just telling you that from his promises that he will never let you down. But every person in this room probably will let you down if you stick around him long enough, right? Every one of us. Your father, your son, your mother, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. It doesn't matter. We will let people down at some point, but Jesus never fails us. These anchors keep us pointed toward the shore where the Spirit continues to guide us and provides for everything that we need, every spiritual blessing. Church, it's not just about getting through the storm, but it's about getting through it alive and living to tell about it, because to live is Christ. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Father, I thank you and praise you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for this storm that Paul endured. I thank you for the writing of Luke to tell us about it, to see how important it is to have these anchors in our lives, because we will all face those storms. And God, I pray today for each and every person here. I pray for the conviction of your Spirit. If there's an area that we've fallen short, if there's an anchor that we've yet to drop down, Lord, would you give us that conviction today and show us how to do it. Lead us to the right person, to the right scripture. Speak to us in our quiet time. Give us dreams and visions. Just draw us close today, Lord God. As we worship you, Lord, we believe your word is true, that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, that as we praise you, that you will draw us close today. God, I pray for every need in this place, that as we worship you, as our focus, our attention is on you, as right now we're pointed toward the shore where you are. God, I pray that as we focus on you, Lord, that those needs in our lives would be answered, because what we need more than anything is you. We praise you today. We say, have your way, Holy Spirit. We surrender to you today. We say that you are more than enough, that you've overcome the world, and if your Spirit, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells within us, then we have the power to overcome everything that we face. And so we just give way to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.